And on the line now, I have Anne-Marie Caulfield. Anne-Marie is from the Private Residential Tenancies Board. Good morning, Anne-Marie.
Good morning, John.
Could you just tell the listeners a bit about the Private Residential Tenancies Board and how it came about?
The Private Residential Tenancies Board, or PRTB as we're commonly known, is a statutory agency, and we were established to do three things. First off, to register all tenancies. So any private residential tenancies in Ireland must be registered with the PRTB. Secondly, we provide a dispute resolution service. So in the event that landlords and tenants are in dispute, any registered landlord or any tenant, whether or not the tenancy is registered, can take a case to us for a fee of €25 or for €15 if they apply online. And the third thing that we do is we do some research and advise the Minister with regard to policy matters in the private residential sector.
Well, that cost is very reasonable, €25 and €15. And when you say disputes with landlords, would this be about contracts or, rent and stuff like that?
Yeah, it would be a range. The dispute types that we had last year, we had just over 6,000 different disputes types. And the two biggest areas at the moment would be to do with rent arrears, and the second biggest would be to do with deposit retention. But as you say, it can be to do with leases, breach of leases. It can be to do with a neighbour taking a case for antisocial behaviour, excess noise, or more serious antisocial behaviour indeed in a rented dwelling. It can be to do with, say, standards and maintenance of dwellings. If they're not meeting the minimum standards, a tenant could take a case to us for the €25 or €15 online.
Okay, and there was a survey done, and research found that 63% of tenants in the private rental sector are aged between 18 and 34, and 14% over the age of 45. Do you find the current state of the economy and stuff like that a lot more people are renting? And do you think that the future is in renting accommodation rather than buying?
Yes, a lot more people are renting. If you look even, say, at the census of 2006 and the census of 2011, the numbers in the private rental sector doubled. And we now have 1 in 5 households renting in the private rental sector. Now, as to whether or not that will continue into the future, I think it depends on a lot of other issues. You mentioned that survey. One of the things that came out of the survey was that over 70% of renters would like to own their own home eventually, be that by purchasing with a mortgage or to go to local authority accommodation as well. Those 70% would like to move on in due course. But at the moment, I suppose there's a number of different difficulties with that. With regard to purchasing, not so many people as in the past have secure employment. If you're on a shorter term contract, you may not wish to take a mortgage, and you may not get one, of course, as well. Also, people do have to save their deposit, quite a substantial deposit now, to get a mortgage. And I suppose then there would be people who would choose to rent because they may not know how long they will be in a particular area, or it might just suit their particular circumstances that they mightn't be able to buy in an area where they have family and support available to them.
Yeah, and you mentioned there that they have to save a deposit. I think is it 20%, Anne-Marie, that people have to save?
Yes, I think it's going to be phased in. I gather that the Central Bank just made a recent announcement on that, but it will be up to 20%. But I think that's going to be phased in. But it still takes an amount of saving, particularly at the moment, because the rental prices have gone up quite considerably. So say, for example, in Dublin in the past year, the price of renting has gone up by 10%. So I suppose if you're paying an increased rent and you're also trying to save, it will take you that bit longer, and so therefore you will be living in the private rental sector for longer, and that's part of the increase that we're now seeing.
Okay. And the banks now as well, this depositing, they're not helping the situation. And there was another thing. We were led to believe that the cost of houses were going down in Ireland, but a recent EU report stated that the cost of houses have gone up 15% in Ireland and only 5% in the rest of Europe. So this is all going to lead to people renting. Do you think it will also lead to landlords hiring the rent?
Okay, well, with regard to increased rents, I suppose there's a couple of things to factor in, and it's always really to do with supply and demand, and really where demand, and as I mentioned, you know, the demand has doubled in the last number of years, and where the supply isn't increasing at the same rate, there is also always going to be a bit of pressure in terms of price, and that's definitely what we're seeing now in terms of the rental sector. Some of it in Dublin is positive from the perspective that the employment figures are much better in Dublin in terms of work being created. Approximately 70% of the new jobs created last year were created in Dublin, and so therefore we are seeing people moving to Dublin to avail of those improved employment prospects. Just with regard to the increases in rent, a landlord is only entitled to increase rent once in a 12-month period by law. They have to give 28 days written notice of the increase in rent, and the rental increase shouldn't be more than the market rate. And what we would ask people to do is to familiarise themselves what the market rate is in their area. So if they go onto the PRTB website, that's www.prtb.ie, what they'll see for 446 locations right throughout the country and in Dublin indeed, is the rental prices for five different property types. We have the biggest database of rental accommodation in Ireland. All landlords are obliged to register with us, and we have over 300,000 tenancies on our books. So, you know, it is a pretty authoritative index in terms of what the market rate or the going rate would be in your area. So you can see what the options might be for you. But do bear in mind as well that if you are in difficulties and if you are worried about your rent, that the Dublin local authorities and Threshold are running a helpline, and you can get advice from them on 1-800-454-454. And that's to prevent homelessness and to assist people who find themselves in difficulty where their rent has increased. They can take a number of steps to assist you. For example, if somebody's on rent supplement, they can liaise between the Department of Social Protection and the tenant in question to see if an increase in their rent supplement can be negotiated. So it is important to get assistance early if you're worried about an increase in your rent. So that number is 1-800-454-454.
Yes, I have interviewed homeless associations, and it is a big worry for people. I recently heard of a case that there's a girl, a family, who have to leave their house because I think the owner wants to sell it or something. And she gets the rent supplement, but I'm not quite sure of the figures, but I think the rent supplement is €1,000. And she was saying that you can't get anywhere for €1,000 in Dublin. It's all over €1,000. So is there any controls? Is there any legal controls over rent?
But the only control that there is that a landlord can't charge more than the market rent.
Yeah.
And they're prohibited from doing that. And if somebody felt they were being asked more than the market rent, they can take a case to ourselves for €25.
Yeah.
But if the landlord is asking what is the going rate in the area, then he is legally, or he or she is legally entitled to do that. There could be, for the lady that you mentioned, the opportunity to get in touch with the helpline and to see if it's possible to negotiate an increase in her rent supplement. And other than that, I suppose the only thing that she could do is, again, research in terms of various options as to, you know, places that she might live on a good transport route or something like that that might be cheaper for her.
Okay, now, do you find that tenants in particular are aware of their rights and legal rights?
There is a difficulty. We carried out a survey and we found that about a third of tenants aren't aware of all of their rights. And this is why we've gone out, we're going out now with a campaign in sort of three waves over the next 12 months, but we've already started in terms of doing additional interviews, such as the interview with yourself and some advertisements in the papers to try and to raise awareness. So, for example, a lot of tenants don't seem to know that after they've been living someplace for 6 months, they're entitled to rent there for up to 4 years. And that right applies even if they have signed a 12-month lease. And that's a common mistake that people say, feel, well, sure, I signed up to 12 months, so that's all I'm entitled to. But by law, once you're paying your rent, you are entitled to continue to live there for up to 4 years. The second thing is people don't always know what, you know, in the event that the tenancy has been terminated, what their entitlement is to notice. And some people think they're only entitled to 1 month, whereas you're entitled to, depending on how long you've lived there, if you've lived there for less than 6 months, you're entitled to the 28 days. But if you've lived there for 3 to 4 years, you're entitled to 84 days. And if you've lived there for more than 4 years, you're entitled to 112 days. And again, that gives people a bit of breathing space to see what the options might be, to look around and to find some place more suitable, whereas 1 month is a very short notice period. So again, to make people aware of that. I suppose the other thing that people mightn't know is that they're entitled to certain minimum standards in relation to their accommodation. So, for example, the old bed sets have gone, in terms of people are entitled to a separate kitchen and they're entitled to separate bathroom and washing facilities. With regard to the equipment that must be in that kitchen, it's quite prescriptive. You're entitled to a 4-ring cooker, you're entitled to a microwave, a washer dryer, and a fridge freezer. So, you know, it is, and the also with regard to the standards of the accommodation, with regard to rent, or with regard to heat, excuse me, it must be that you can control that yourself, that it's not that the landlord or landlady puts on the rent, the heat for an hour in the morning and an hour in the evening. It must be free of damp, it must be structurally sound, etc. And the landlord must maintain it at that standard throughout the tenancy. Obviously now the tenant has to respect the property as well and not do any damage. But, you know, if something breaks down, they are entitled to get it repaired.
That's I wouldn't have been aware of any of them. No, I'm not a renter. But in particular, if you take out a year's lease, and once you're living there more than 6 years, you're legally entitled to stay there for 4 years, is it?
Yeah, once you've been living there for 6 months.
Yeah.
Not 6 years.
Sorry,
you know,
6 months.
You acquire that right quite quickly, do you know?
Yeah,
so once you've rented there for 6 months, you're entitled to stay there for up to 4 years, provided you're paying your rent, of course. But you do have that entitlement to stay there. There's limited circumstances in which it can be broken. One of them would be the circumstance that you mentioned earlier there, where the landlord has to sell.
Yeah.
Or if the landlord needs it for his or her own family again. Or if it's structurally unsound, you know, there can be limited circumstances like that. But other than that, the person is entitled to live there for up to the 4 years, to rent there for up to four years.
I find that's amazing. That's something that I don't think people would be aware of at all. Once you're there more than 6 months, you can't be told to live after your 1 year lease is up.
No, you can't. You can't. Provided you're paying your rent, you're entitled to stay there for up to 4 years. Now, what we would say is we'd ask tenants to indicate to landlords that they would like to stay on after the end of the 12 months so that everybody can plan and so on. But they are legally entitled to stay on. And if there's any issue about their entitlement, again, they can take a case to the PRTB for the €25 or €15 online. And until such times we have adjudicated upon the matter, they can't be asked to vacate.
Okay, now, you don't just cater for tenants. You'd also cater for renters. Would you get more queries from tenants or from renters, would you say?
From landlords. With regard to the people that actually take cases to us, it's approximately a 60-40 breakdown. Approximately 60% of our clients taking cases, dispute cases to us, would be tenants, and approximately 40% percent would be landlords. Now, with regard to then people actually contacting us, we would have about 2,000 phone calls every week to our call centre, and 2/3 of the calls to us would be from landlords and 1/3 from tenants. So I suppose it depends on which perspective you look at it from, as to which is our biggest client group. For different areas of business, it's different breakdown.
Now, the PRTP, it was established in 2004, I'm just reading here, so you're actually 10 years now
in existence.
Yeah, and do you find things are, you're getting busier, you're getting more queries?
Yes, we are. We're getting a lot busier. The size of the sector has doubled, and certainly with regard to, you know, the number of cases that we will be hearing, they would nearly have doubled as well. The number of phone calls that we get has increased very significantly. The areas of our own areas of activity have grown as well in terms of enforcement against unregistered landlords. So initially we would only have pursued maybe a couple of thousand, but last year we identified nearly 20,000 unregistered landlords. That was in 2014, and in 2013 we identified 25,000 unregistered landlords. So an area of our business would also be to pursue unregistered landlords. We give them a warning obviously first, and if they persist in not registering, then we would have to take a criminal prosecution against them. It's a serious matter, because that would be, you know, something that they'd have to declare if they're going for a job again or going to travel into certain countries. And also the fines are significant in that it's a €4,000 fine, plus our legal costs, and in default they could serve up to 6 years in prison. So it's a serious matter. So in all areas of activity, yes, we have experienced a big growth in our numbers.
So, and landlords have to register with the PRTB. That's law.
Yeah, that's the law. You can't rent out your premises unless you're registered with the PRTB.
When you say you discover unregistered landlords, would that be to people reporting it, or would it be through your own investigations?
Yes, it would be a combination of both. Tenants would often whistleblow on their landlords if they're not registered, and they can do so in confidence by ringing us, or indeed by emailing us. But in addition to that, we would also have the right to exchange information with a number of other public bodies. So, for example, the Department of Social Protection give us their rent supplement database once a quarter, and we run software to compare that to the landlords that are registered with us, and we can fairly quickly identify those who are not registered with us. In the same way, local authorities who are operating on the grounds carrying out minimum standard inspections would also identify unregistered landlords, and a lot of elected representatives would also let us know if there's an issue in their area as to unregistered landlords. It's €90 to register with us. That can last for up to 4 years, depending on, you know, if the tenancy doesn't change. If the tenants don't change for those 4 years, then the €90 will cover you for that duration. Of the registration fee, €20 goes towards minimum standards inspections. So we would pay for the local authority inspectorate to go out and inspect to ensure that accommodation is up to those minimum standards that I mentioned earlier, and the remainder of it then goes to running the PRTB because we don't receive any exchequer funding and we're self-financing.
It's all very, very interesting, and those the tenants' rights that you mentioned earlier on, I wouldn't have heard of, and I'm sure an awful lot of people out there wouldn't have heard of. So can they go online and check their rights?
They can indeed. We have quite a good website. It's www.prtb.ie, and if they log on there, they can see there's a number of questions and answers prepared for them, and that sets out their rights, you know, in I would hope pretty clear terms.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Not at all, John. Thanks very much for the opportunity, because as I said, it's really important that people would know what their legal rights are.
It is very important, and it's very helpful, and the helpline, I'm sure your helpline will probably be hopping, because there's a lot of rented accommodation in this area. But once again, Anne-Marie, thank you very much for taking the call.
Thanks, John. Take care now.
That was Anne-Marie Caulfield there from the Private Residential Tenancies Board, and the helpline number there is 0818 303037. That's 0818 303037.